Philippi after the festival of unleavened bread, 5 days the trials when we stayed 7 days. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. And Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. And what we're going to see here, we're going to call the Eutychus effect. When somebody drones on and on and you begin to fall asleep, you're on the first one. Okay? Just be careful where you fall asleep. It's going to be one of the points of the story. But, so remember that these people are people that have come to know the Lord, and now Paul is coming back around, and he's got a lot to share, a lot of stories about what the Lord is doing. And so he keeps talking until midnight. And there were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. And there's a couple reasons I think Luke includes this. One is to let Paul off the hook. But hey, it was a well-lit room. Okay? But the other thing, if you've ever been around oil lamps, there's a lot of heat. So this is a crowded room. It's hot. Paul is talking, sharing stories about what the Lord is doing. And he's going on and on and on. And seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus. Probably worked all day long. And now he's come to this incredible opportunity to hear from the Apostle Paul himself. But he was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. And when he was found asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Yes. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man. And if you're familiar with the Old Testament story where Elijah, the prophet, prayed for a young man who had died, Elijah laid on top of him, and as he prayed, the Lord brought the young man back to life. Don't know if Paul was, obviously Paul knew that story, if he was thinking, okay, it worked once, I'm going to try this for if the Lord led him to, but he threw himself on the young man, put his arms around him. Don't be alarmed, he said. He's alive. Not that he wasn't dead. He was dead. But he's alive. So then they went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. And after talking until daylight, he left. Incredible miracle, but practical now, right? They're hungry. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted, especially Eutychus. We went on ahead to the ship and sailed for Athens, where we were going to take Paul aboard, and he had made this arrangement because he was going there on foot. And when he met us in Athens, we took him aboard and went on to the The next day, we set sail from there and arrived off Chios. The day after that, we crossed over to Samos, and on the following day, arrived at Melios. And Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia. And Phil mentioned this last week, for Paul was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, and if possible, by the day of Pentecost. So Paul has in his mind that he wants to get to Jerusalem. That the Lord, he knows, and we're going to get to this in a second, he knows that he might be arrested. He knows that there's danger involved in Jerusalem. But he has a heart set to reach Jerusalem and bring the gospel there. From my leader, Paul sent to Ephesus, the elders of the church. So just from that verse, you can discover that in Ephesus, they have a mature church by now, that they're there's leadership that's overseeing the church. And when it says elders of the church, don't think Los Altos Grace Church, a group of the type meeting in sanctuary. Think Christians meeting in homes all throughout the city. And when they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. And I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus." Teaching publicly from publicly and from house to house. I gotta be careful because I have kind of a one message that the Lord just keeps on my heart. And I don't want to feel this to be my only focus, but it's so important to me that that we get this. If we're going to be disciples of Jesus, if I'm going to grow in my relationship with Him, I've got to be in relationship with other people that are going to push me, and that I can just do life together. We just have fun together. We spent time with the kids this morning, and we talked about the adventure to follow Jesus, but if I'm gonna know Jesus, I gotta get to know Him in your dining room, in your living room, and you in mine. And we were talking about this yesterday with some leaders here, that our culture makes it so almost impossible to do this. That unless you're intentional about continuing to meet together from house to house, life is just going to get away from us. And we're just going to, we'll show up Sunday mornings and be encouraged here. It is encouraging here. I love to worship together here. But there's going to be more for us. And so that's, I'm preaching to myself as I share it. Let's spend time together. And with the Lord, prepare our time. Hang out at Starbucks even if you don't like coffee. It's good. It's good to be together. And so let's be intentional about that, publicly and from house to house. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. And sometimes the way the Lord warns him, Paul, is someone will just have a prophetic word and be praying over Paul and say, "Paul, this is what's going to happen to you when you go. You're going to be arrested. You're going to be beaten." Other times, I think he just had a sense. Everywhere he goes, he has two things going on. One is, God called me to this, Jerusalem. And the other is, there's going to be suffering involved. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Thinking about this, how do you know what your task is? Paul is pretty clear. When he, back in Acts chapter 9, when he is knocked to the ground and blinded by Jesus himself, to the brightness of Jesus himself, everything changes for Paul. The Lord brings along to come and speak to Paul, and he says to Paul directly, he gives him this task that he's going to be sent to the Gentiles, part one, and part two is he's going to suffer. So Paul was really clear from the beginning what his task was. It was going to take him years to finally get directly. But his task was clear to reach non-Jews with the gospel. Sometimes when you're praying, you're asking the Lord, if you ask the Lord this, Lord, what do you want me to do? You ever ask the Lord that? That's a good prayer. What do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do with my life? Sometimes you guys are graduating high school, and it tends to be a time when you start asking the question, now what? You're sleeping for a while, but then eventually you start asking, okay, now what? What's my task? What's God's call on my life? There are some ways that you can discover what his task is for you. I have a task for you. I have some homework for you to do. It's going to take you all summer. A friend of mine encouraged me to do this, and it was really helpful. What I want you to do is your quiet time alone with the Lord. Don't do it all at once. It's going to take you all summer. But when you feel it in, ask this question. Create a timeline of your own life if you've not done this already. And significant events, the good and bad that have happened to you along the way. When has it been that when you are doing something for the Lord, you have the sense, this is me. This is what I'm made for. That's part of it. The other part is, at the same time you feel, this is impossible. Yeah. turn back to Acts 20.